So, in 1660, the Parliament in England invited Charles II, who'd been in Scotland, they invited him back to England and to be involved with English affairs. He understood the rules were clearly written out. He needed to understand that he couldn't do whatever he wanted. He couldn't murder whoever he wanted. He couldn't take money when he didn't deserve it. But he was an amicable person. He was a friendly person. And the Church of England that came after the Restoration was a kind of less strict, more friendly kind of church. And it became the official church of England. But the people that were excluded were the Catholics and some of the more stricter, Puritans were kept out of power. So more common people were given more freedoms. For example, in 1679, a law called the Habeas Corpus Act came into law, which basically means that if you're accused of a crime, you must have a hearing in court. You must be allowed to appear in court and say your piece before you can be put in prison. So people were no longer allowed to be put in prison without having the right to a fair trial. Other things that were happening around this time that had an effect on history and on the people at the time, one of the biggest things was another big disease that swept through the UK and through England called the plague. And in London, in big cities, this affected a lot of people that were living close to one another, and thousands of people died. And then there was another fire, sort of related, but certainly the effects of the fire of London. It killed a lot of people, but it did in some ways get rid of the remaining parts of that plague, the remaining parts of that disease, because it was so hot, the disease left. But it did mean whole parts of London had been destroyed by the fire. And one of these places is St. Paul's Cathedral. So the St. Paul's Cathedral that we see today in London was built around this time, was built after the Great Fire of London. And there was also another famous person around this time who recorded these things happening, who wrote down stuff about the plague, stuff about the Great Fire. And he was a guy called Samuel Pepys. And his diaries... is spelt P-E-P-Y-S. His diaries are still read today, and again are a little nice, normal, very intimate and close portrayal of what normal people were like at this time. Charles II was also really interested in science, and he formed the Royal Society, which is one of the oldest scientific societies in the world. And among its members were people like Sir Isaac Newton. And he is the person who's on the back of one of our banknotes, one of the banknotes. I think it's he's a very famous person when we had £1 banknotes. And he was, he proved things like the existence of gravity by using an example of an apple falling from the tree. If we didn't have gravity, how can an apple fall from the tree and land on the ground? And he also said that light, daylight, is made up of lots and lots of different colours, and all of those colours mixed together, like a rainbow, when they're mixed together, they make up white light. So he worked that out by looking at rainbows, but also through looking at crystals and the way that light goes through a crystal and then gets split up into different types. So after Charles II died, his brother, King James of King James, who the second of England and also the seventh of Scotland, he things went a bit backwards. He was a Catholic, so he supported other Roman Catholics, and they tried to bring some of that power back into Parliament as well. King James II's daughter, Mary, married the Protestant ruler of the Netherlands. So even though King James II was Catholic, his daughter was Protestant. So she directly disagreed with her dad. And she married the Protestant ruler of the Netherlands, who was called William. And in 1688, Mary asked him to invade England. And James, the king at the time, ran away. So he ran away from his daughter and her husband, and he went to live in France. And William II took over as King of England. So this was called the Glorious Revolution. And the reason why it was so glorious was because, as opposed to all of the other revolutions we've looked at previously, there was not a single bit of blood spilt. So there was no fighting whatsoever. The king ran away and William II took over. So James II tried on many different occasions to try and get the power back, try and get back into power. He tried to do this first of all by taking power in Ireland with a French army, and he tried to do this in around 1690, but William defeated him. Okay, so this is celebrated in Northern Ireland today as the Orange Day Parade, because the Netherlands colour, as like the football, is orange. So that's why we have an Orange Day Parade amongst Protestants in Northern Ireland. And many restrictions were beginning to be placed on the Catholics in Ireland. The Protestant government was concerned with Catholics taking over. So they became more and more obstructive and brutal on the Catholics. In Scotland, James II tried again to take power, but again he was defeated. And this time, for the English government to had to insist that the clan leaders, the people who ran the tribes in Scotland, that they pledged allegiance to the flag. And those that didn't pledge allegiance to the king were killed. And one clan in particular was killed just because they didn't pledge allegiance in time. So some people believed in Scotland and in parts of Ireland, they believed that James II should still be in power. And he had secret supporters in France, and they were called Jacobites. And that is one of the next periods of history that we're going to talk about.